Thanks for downloading this podcast, which is for personal use only. All contents are copyright Radio Show Limited and must not be reproduced, rebroadcast, or used in any form without permission. For contact details, go to www.radiolemon.com.
Hello, everybody. This is another Midweek Motorsport special here on radiolemon.com. I'm John Hangdorf. Back in 2001, I took a trip up to the northwest of England to Crewe and to the Bentley Motor Company. And the reason I was invited there was that their motorsport division were rolling out the then brand new Bentley Speed 8 in front of their associates, the men and women that work at that historic facility, a facility that has for such a long time represented the very best of British engineering, not only in the automotive world, of course, but that was also one of the places that turned out the Merlin engine for Spitfires, Hurricanes, for Lancasters and Mosquitoes. It didn't take much persuading, therefore, to get me back up there recently, as the motorsport division of Bentley were doing exactly the same for their new Challenger for 2014. The GT3 version of the Bentley Continental will be the spearhead of that fantastic Marks motorsport presence. But before we talk to the drivers and the engineers, let's go back to the very beginning and find out from the man at the top exactly how this project got started.
My name is Rolf Frech. I'm the board member for engineering in Bentley. I think you know the people out of Bentley, and they say they are so enthusiastic about racing. And when I came in and when we started to discuss that, I met a lot of people who had this enthusiasm, and together with them, of course, I supported it. We got this decision. Yeah, the decision or the discussion started early 2012, but the final decision was then made in June. And then we started. It was a good process to come to that point, because we looked what is the right way for Bentley, what are the right series. But then we came to that decision, and I think it was a good decision.
You could, Bentley as a manufacturer, as a brand, could race anywhere.
Yeah.
Why GT3? Why did that one stand out above everything else?
Yes, for us is GT3 a big possibility to bring our current productions car really close to the racetrack. And a lot of our customers have asked exactly for that. And I think the identification of our customers now with this race series, now with this car, it's much higher than to go into a prototype series or whatever. That was, of course, one of the reasons. Beside that, there, of course, there have been other reasons. You know, Le Mans, there are already two brands out of the group in, and therefore I think it was a good decision. So the combination of these all brought us to this series.
Of course, not so very long ago, you would not have been able to do this because you didn't have a car that was suitable.
Yeah, but I think in the backhead of a lot of people, even when we started with that car, I think it was always a little bit part of the thinking around. Look at a person like Brian. He has the fuel in his blood, the race fuel in his blood, and so therefore there was always a look around what would be possible with this car.
Is it important that you can showcase the styling, obviously, of the car, but also that's a production-based engine, that new 4-litre V8, which is such a big part of what you guys have done here recently in the drivetrain at Bentley. Is it important you can showcase that in motor racing?
Yeah, I think it's important to show that in the motor racing, but it's also important to show that to our customers. And if you look at the car, and if you compare it to some other series, to some other cars, I think it comes around the corner and you directly see, wow, this is a Bentley. And that was also part of the task and the challenge the team take, to say, okay, let's really make a Bentley from the execution, from everything. And if you look at the outline of the car, if you look at the interior of the car, it's a pure Bentley that shows, okay, it's a luxury performance car.
And are we likely to see Bentley in any other form of motor racing in the future? Or for now, you concentrate on GT? I've got to,
exactly.
I have to ask that question. Otherwise, the listeners would kill me.
Yeah, of course, you're allowed to ask this question. And I would answer it in the way, let's now focus on that. But the thinkings are free.
Stephen Kane, Bentley boy. The first Irishman to be a Bentley boy. It's great. And, you know, it's really I'm really honoured and proud to be recognised by Bentley and doing the Blancpain Endurance Series this year. It's just fantastic.
For quite a long time, you've been one of the best drivers that nobody knows.
It's motorsport's very difficult, you know. It's always the way, isn't it? There's a lot of things happens behind the scenes that no one really realises. And, you know, from a young age, winning the Autosport Awards, you know, on the way to Formula One, trying to get there and taking that route was... You know, everything was going well in that respect, and then, you know, obviously when the realisation and the budget isn't there to carry on, you sort of get lost in the whole thing. So, you know, but the last sort of 3 or 4 years going to America and LMP1, winning one of the races over there and really getting back into it again, and driving for JRM last year was very good, and having some good results with good teammates, and, you know, Bentley recognised that, and, you know, it's great that they've asked me to come along and help them with their programme.
Was the move to sports cars a seminal moment?
For me, personally, as long as I'm driving and I enjoy it, you know, that's the main thing. It's not really the fame gets me. It's driving for a really good manufacturer and winning something and making something, you know, making some history. You know, obviously every young kid wants to get to Formula One. That's what they watch in BBC and, you know, from a very young age. But when you realise there's a lot more to it, it's not just all talent, and you can see that at the minute. So it didn't really bother me, to be honest. Getting into this and coming with a manufacturer like Bentley is just, it's amazing.
How's the programme been for you? It's very much been developing a brand new car. Have you enjoyed that challenge and enjoyed getting involved with Andy and Smithy and the rest of the team here?
It's been really good. You know, that's something that I've really enjoyed a lot. I'm very passionate about that side of things, the technical side of things. You know, I've had past experience before with Williams Formula One team developing the F2 car and a few other companies, but you know, I really, really enjoyed it. The car started off, you know, the base car is fantastic. As you can see, it's only been really reliability work that we've worked on during that time, and you know, there's nothing went wrong with it at all. So you know, fundamentally everything's perfect. We've just been working on it, a lot of miles, making sure that everything's right, and we've ended up with a great car.
You've got a lot of experience going back through your career where you roll off the truck, you get very little time on the track, and basically you've got to nail your qualifying and get out there and get near the front of the field.
Well, yeah, I think that's a bit of single seaters and stuff like that can really help because Blancpain is a very difficult championship like that. When you arrive, you're three drivers to get through in 3 hours.
Yeah.
So there's not very many laps. And a lot of drivers don't get to the circuits that often.
Yeah.
You know, you really do have to go out there, get your 5 laps, get your bearings, and then be able to put a lap in. Mm-hmm. And not every driver can do that. But, you know, if you've got a bit of experience, I've learned to do that over the years with Formula 3 and World Series by Renault, and even touring cars to a certain degree. You know, touring cars were very good like that. There was a lot of technical things like that, a lot of setup that you had to do for qualifying alone.
And then get the tyres switched on early as well and get the best out of them.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's there's tyre warmers as well. And, you know, with these size of wheels, it's very, very... you have to get it perfect to get a good time.
First of all, we'll go to Monza.
I really enjoy Monza. Monza's a brilliant track for drafting and racing in general. It's, you know, even for spectators, it's one of the best tracks. And for drivers, the best racetrack in the world. Mm. I would say race for racing. Mm. We'll have to wait and see where we'll end up there. I think we'll be very strong, but, you know, there's a lot of... It's a sort of track that's unique to certain cars.
Yeah.
But if we can stay in the mix and we can keep it in the top 10, I think that would be a really good result for the first race. But secretly, I think we'll be a little bit better than that.
And, tell us about the two guys that you're driving with.
Yes, I've been teammates with Guy.
Of course you have.
And winning the LMS race at Sebring 2 years ago was brilliant. We did the long races together, and obviously, I was in the second car with Dyson. So, the year before that. So yeah, and I've known Andy for a number of years now, just through racing in Britain and stuff. I used to coach Andy actually at the very start, and so
how good or bad was he? Nobody's listening.
He's very, very good, both of them. We've got a really good relationship. We all complement each other. We're good at certain things, and we're really looking forward to working together. You know, we've been training hard as well, so you know, it's been good.
In a sports car environment where you're sharing a car directly, getting the car set up for you is not going to be an option. That you very, very rarely, if ever, going to get a car that is perfect for any one of the three drivers. There's always that element of compromise. Are you okay with that?
Yes, yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, I think we all are. We've been in the game long enough now to realise that, you know, it's never perfect. But, you know, that's a little bit of... That's what just comes with the game, isn't it? It's, you just have to get in and sort of get your head focused and get out of testing now, and racing begins next week, and, you know, we're all ready for it.
Stephen Kane clearly raring to go for the 2014 Blancpain Endurance Series with M Sport Team Bentley. You're listening to RadioLeMans.com and a midweek motorsport special. I'm John Heindorf, and still to come as we look at Bentley's new season hopes for the Continental GT3. And you know what they say, job's never done until the paperwork is completed. And my oh my, there's a lot of paperwork in FIA GT3. Also, Brian Gush, the man who started this project and has pushed it to exactly where it is now. But next, it's a driver who used to be a teammate of mine.
I'm Andy Merrick, Bentley boy.
It's been a pretty short winter, to be honest, for us, because obviously the first race for the car was in Abu Dhabi on December the 15th, which was a really perfect opportunity to see the car perform in an environment that against our other competitors for 2014. So that was very valuable. But obviously the guys have taken a lot of information from that race, and us as drivers as well, to be able to put it into the development of the cars for 2014 and Blancpain. And then we've got into some endurance testing ahead of the season and working on the car. So yeah, it has felt like a very busy off season and a very short off season. So it's been fantastic. It's been really good getting parts, you know, working closely in a team environment, especially with Guy and Stephen in our car, and yeah, just working towards the first race in Monza next weekend.
Stephen King used to be a driver coach for you, did he not?
He probably still thinks he is, to be honest. but yes, yeah, no, he, Stephen, yeah, driver coach for me in Formula Renault when I did the winter series in, I think, 2006.
Is that a bit weird?
No, not at all. I just ignored him like I did then, to be honest. it's fantastic. I mean, I'm obviously quite a bit younger than Guy and Steve, and I've got a great relationship with both of them. And yeah, no, it's good. I mean, Stephen and Guy and I think myself all complement one another in and out of the car. So now we've been working well together as expected. I mean, I've driven with Guy before as well. I think the other thing that Stephen probably doesn't mention is in the Walter Hayes Trophy, I took him off in the Formula Ford. So we kind of try not to talk about that one.
Well, at least you can't do that. You're in the same car this time. Driving styles, very important. How has that evolved as you three have become a team?
I guess it has evolved, but it was a dead straight fit and a nice easy fit straight away. So it has grown, and I think we've always spoke the same language. From the second we got in the car, it was the same. We always wanted the same, which I think has made the development a lot easier, especially for the engineers. You know, when we're badgering them, at least we're badgering them with the same information, the same direction. We've grown our relationship in terms of the way that we've, you know, work to get the best out of one another. Obviously, you trust as drivers now. We train a lot together. You know, we've been sort of eating and breathing in one another's lives for the last few months now. So it's been really good. But to be honest, it was just an easy fit, and I think it was probably clear to the team at Bentley from the early days when we all tested together that we work well together. So it's been an easy one.
You drive an amazing array of cars still, and you couldn't get more different than this Bentley Continental GT3 in the Delta Wing.
I think from the driving point of view, excuse me, it's been, as you mentioned, I've driven lots of different types of cars. I mean, I went through a period between 2010 and I think 2012 where I drove six or seven different LMP1 cars. So I was jumping between those, now more recently and more latterly into GT cars. So I think I've worked on very, very hard on how to recognise how to drive different cars and an ability to get up to speed quickly in them. As much as anything, I just keep a reminder to myself, you have to reset yourself going into every weekend. I mean, recently I went from the Paul Ricard official Blancpain test straight to Sebring, and I got 10 laps before qualifying for the Delta Wing. And but it's not too bad. It's just, I think, experiences. You know, I just keep a checklist of just a written reminder of how to drive. I know it sounds as simple as that, but otherwise you spend 10, 15 laps wasting your time getting up to speed.
Yes.
I've just got that little mental note, yeah. And I can get straight up to speed. And I think you can draw. You can't use everything from different types of cars that you drive, but you can draw upon the ability to analyse yourself, so you're recognising, and your self-analysis skills become much stronger. So it makes it a lot easier for me.
Everybody knows that this challenge that Bentley and M Sport have taken on is a big one. It's going to be tough out there, isn't it? And I get a sense that nobody here is trying to kid themselves about that.
Oh, not for a second. We've got the utmost respect for the other manufacturers that we're going up against. You know, where they've got years and years of experience in this arena on the circuits that we're going to as well. But saying that, we know that we've got a strong car. We know that we've got a very strong partner in M Sport, who are very experienced and proven, you know, championship winners in the world of rallying, and have adapted incredibly well to motorsport. And that was proven at Abu Dhabi. They did a really, really incredible job. As I say, we've got incredible respect for our competitors. Abu Dhabi proved that we can be there and we can run at the front, but you know, we're not underestimating the challenge ahead for this year.
What did Andy Murray learn about driving the Bentley in December at Abu Dhabi in a very, very tough race debut?
I think the main thing from my personal point of view was learning and building working relationships with the team. That was the main thing for that I set myself as objectives. I mean, of course, the result, we were pushing like mad to try and get a result, but we had to be realistic. And as a driver, we always want to get the best result we can. But I think realistically, and to be honest, with hindsight, we exceeded our expectations going there, because it really was just a test race and a development race for the car. The main things, I think, was for me working with the team, getting that, building the foundations for a strong 2014. There was obviously technical elements on the car that we've collected the data, we've been able to work on since, to make the car quicker, but a stronger package. You naturally learn things in the pit stops, in that hot environment, which we've done a number of endurance tests now, but they've always been private tests. You can't simulate that sessions when you're chasing for fighting for a position, you're in and out of the garages, you're in a battle with a car, you're straight behind it, you know, all that sort of thing. That was why I think Abu Dhabi was a perfect race.
You're a professional racing driver. We're standing on the doorstep of a new season. Do you still get excited about going motor racing?
Without doubt. If I'm honest, I feel at the moment more motivated and more up for it than I've ever felt. I think the day that I don't, and I start feeling that I don't want to keep pushing myself, then I'll probably won't continue, and hopefully that will never happen. I think, don't get me wrong, there's times at the end of the season when you're sometimes wishing for the season to finish, because
sure.
You know, a lot of travelling and a lot of testing and a lot of demands, it's very tough. But now I feel very fresh at the moment, very happy in the environment that I've been given, and just can't wait. Monza can't come soon enough.
Can you win races this year, or is that too much to expect?
I think it's... I would always, naturally, the driver and that part of me would always say yes. I would hope so, but it's not the main objective. I wouldn't be disappointed if we don't. I think strong performances, strong races, and continual improvement in the car would be the main objective, but put my driver head on and I'd say yes.
I'm Alistair McQueen. I'm Performance Engineering Manager at Bentley Motorsport.
Alistair, congratulations on being part of the team that's put this together. You've had to do, amongst everything else, the hardest job. In this case, that's FIA homologation in GT3. How does that stack up against things you've done similarly for other projects in the past?
My experience really is with ACO homologation and Le Mans cars previously, and that's relatively straightforward compared to the FIA homologation. We had this car homologated via the MSA, the British authorities, for the Abu Dhabi race in December, and they follow the same format as the FIA to put the paperwork together. However, we now have to pander to whatever the FIA feel is correct to put into the paperwork, and everything has to be exactly what they want, and the interpretations that they put on things are never exactly clear from the outset. So it's a case of modifying things slightly to conform completely to their interpretation of the regulations and the requirements for photos and so on in the document.
That might surprise a lot of people, because in some ways GT3 as a category has quite loose technical regulations.
Yeah, I think this is precisely why the homologation document is so detailed, because, as you rightly say, that the regulations are actually quite few, but the guidelines are fairly strict. And to make sure that people are racing with the car that the manufacturer intended, yes, is the purpose of the homologation document. So we've got to strictly document absolutely everything about the car so that people can't play with it later on and make either performance degradation or improvements to the car.
So what we're talking about here is scrutineers wherever in the world, and let's be honest, GT3 races everywhere, they could say, well, that is right or that is wrong. And that's the kind of detail the much greater detail that you guys are having to go in. It's not just about, it's this wide, it's this long, it's this high.
No, virtually every component of the car is detailed in the homologation form. So we have 116 pages with approximately 2,700 pieces of technical information, and I alone have taken over 3,000 photographs of the car and its parts over the last couple of months.
Thank God for digital cameras, eh?
I don't know how they managed before, I really don't.
What are you allowed to change, if anything, as the car evolves in its life?
If we want to change the car fundamentally, we've got to put in a new homologation section, an erratum, or an Evo to the homologation to get it to the new level. In terms of what the people can do with it at the circuit, well, there's various parts homologated, so there's a number of roll bars, a number of springs, and so on, homologated within the document. So there's a range of certain adjustable parts already homologated.
And how often are you allowed to update the car?
If it's an erratum, it just costs you money and
of course it does.
Allows you to change the document. If it's the normal thing would be an annual Evo adjustment, but that has to be certified by the FIA, and they've already told us we are not going to be able to put any performance updates, merely safety and comparatively small updates to our car over its lifetime.
And that presumably that all fits in with balance of performance as well?
Indeed, yes. The balance of performance set for the FIA is one which can be slightly altered by any of the people who run the series, such as British GT or the SRO. So we have already been given a weight penalty by the SRO because our car was quite good when they tested it.
Is that slightly frustrating?
Frustrating? No, I think it's a compliment that they've seen it as a competitor and a competitive one. So no, we'll work around it, and we'll work within the regulations and the guidelines and the balance of performance, which is increasingly looking like it will find its way into GT cars in the future, yes, in terms of what the FIA do to the convergence of GT regulations for 2016.
And that is the next big step for all of us in sports car racing. You've been involved in sports cars with the ACO and the FIA for a long time. GT3 surely must have some kind of future within that, either as a basis for GT Plus or perhaps something even more?
Yeah, I see GT3 being very strong as it is now into the future. The FIA are certainly looking as though they will allow GT3 to continue into the new GT regulations as grandfathered cars. But also it will fit into the GT regulations by small changes to the balance of performance to dumb the performance down by perhaps 3/4 to 1 second a lap. So I think there's a good future for GT3, and the regulations ongoing are looking like they're going to be more like a GT3 regulation than the GT regulations of the past.
And does that mean that we might see something like this, at least with the same concept behind it, racing at Le Mans, and would that be a good thing?
Of course, that's what we're aiming for. I think Bentley back at Le Mans is something everybody would like to see, and of course, we're very much part of that.
Radio Le Mans, where the motorsport just keeps coming.
Well, whilst many of us would echo those hopes from Alistair McQueen at Bentley, of course, there's a long way to go before we even know how the GT and GT Plus regulations will shake out. But rest assured, we'll keep you up to date with those developments here on RadioLeMans.com and on Midweek Motorsport every week at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night UK time. You're listening to a special here on RadioLeMans.com. It's John Hindhove looking forward to the Blancpain Endurance Series and Bentley's return to international motorsport. Now, still to come on this programme, Bentley boy Guy Smith looks forward to the programme in 2014, and the man behind the project talks to us too.
I'm Brian Gush and I'm director of Bentley Motorsport. I think we are ready. We've had a careful preparation time. It's been a quick program. We've developed the car very quickly, but we've done the testing that we wanted to do. We were very happy with our test race in Abu Dhabi. We had a strong showing there, which gave us a lot of confidence moving forward.
That was brave. Was that a difficult decision to make, to go and do, effectively go and do some testing in a very public environment?
Yeah, well, eventually you've got to get out of a closed test environment and into competition, because, as you say, that is a different environment, but it's part of what we're going to do, so the sooner you get there, the better.
Yeah. Now, when we talked about this car and going forward into 2014, last year at Goodwood, the plan was very much to concentrate on finalising the specification of the car over the winter and getting yourself ready for Blancpain, which you've done, but you've accelerated some parts of the programmes. Indeed, your first customers in the British GT already have their car.
Yeah, we were really pleased to be able to deliver the first customer car. It actually was an addition to our plan, but we had planned by the beginning of this year to get customer cars out there. And of course they've got a season to run as well, so we had to consider that and turned up the wick and got it done. Yeah.
No, we don't get winters off anymore in motorsport, so where's all the work gone in since Abu Dhabi in December? What have you been refining? What, if you can tell me, are the detailed changes?
We're happy with the performance of the car. There are a few areas that we wanted to improve on. Fuel consumption was one of them, and we've got there now. We went off to Abu Dhabi and went and did another 30-hour test just to iron out all the changes that we had made. And so, yeah, it's been a busy winter, but I think we've come out of it knowing the car a lot better. And ready for the season.
One thing about the Bentley that you can't hide is its size and its frontal area. Mm-hmm.
No, one of the things I was really nervous about at Abu Dhabi was how the car would appear on the track, because of course, having tested in closed sessions up until then, we hadn't really seen it in the pack. And it's probably one of the most pleasing parts of Abu Dhabi. It didn't look out of place. We got no comments to that in that regard, and. There's a favourite shot I have of the car going into the first corner, where it looks just right. So it's not a small car, but neither are some of our competitors. Mm. So I think we've hit it exactly at the right spot. Yeah.
The rise and rise of GT globally has given you this opportunity. Would there have been an opportunity for Bentley to go racing without GT3, would you have considered a GTE car and going back to Le Mans or ACO rules racing in the GTE categories?
Well, the GTE regulations as they are require so little change to the production car that firstly with four-wheel drive we would never have been able to do it. To do GTE racing means you firstly have to do a road car derivative, invest in that, meet all the road car safety standards and reliability requirements, and then you can start your race car development. So it adds a huge bill onto a race program. So GT3 is an excellent entry point for us, using a car that is based on the road car, unmistakably a Continental to spectators. Ideal entry point, and the popularity of GT3 speaks for itself.
But that does bring up balance of performance. You know, you've had to submit the car for the BOP. Mm-hmm.
We had a good session at Ricard. We were in line with where the FIA test driver was, so we felt we were totally up front with the FIA. They were satisfied with what we showed them. SRO have also now come out with their balance of performance criteria. And we're just right where we thought we would be. Mm. So we're happy with it. It makes for close racing.
Yes.
That's what people want to see. And also what manufacturers want to see.
We're standing next to the car. It'd be remiss of me not to talk about one or two of the features. Obviously the big splitter and the massive amount of aero, the V8 engine sitting down low and being pushed back. That's a lot of work that's gone into that, and it provides a very aggressive and visually stimulating front end. But it's still recognisably a Bentley.
That was one of our design requirements, is to keep it recognisable as a Continental GT. And I think we've achieved it. The structure comes straight from our production plant. So we use production structures, we use production engine components. When you look at it, it's unmistakably a Continental GT. So we're really pleased with the way it's turned out with the shape of it, the design, the style. Yeah.
I love what you've done with the front wings here, because obviously you're allowed to widen the front end of the car, and standing at the middle of the car looking forward, you can see just how much that front fender and the front end has been widened out, something around about, I guess, an inch and a quarter there in old money. And yet from the front, it retains exactly the same shape and profile as the streetcar. And in fact, you've got a streetcar body in white just a little bit further up. That's very clever. And presumably, there would have been easier ways than doing that. You could have just tacked on a box arch.
Yeah, we took a bit of time over the styling up front, and we've got some really skillful stylists. And so right throughout this program, we've taken people out of the road car program who have an intimate knowledge of the GT and used their knowledge while we could in the program. And that applies to the stylists as well. So the stylists got involved. They styled the whole car. Then it went into aero. Then we made our changes. But it was an iterative process, allowing the stylists always to have a say of how it looked, which wasn't detrimental to the aero.
And I'm looking at the headlights there on the race car. They look very similar, if not exactly the same as the street car. And if I'm not mistaken, the inside pair still have at least the cutout there for the headlamp wash on it.
Absolutely, yeah. Road car parts.
So, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Let's work our way back down the car, Brian, if we can, on the left-hand side, which is not the driver's side. This is a right-hand drive version. Yes. Will they all be right-hand drive versions?
At the moment, we've just developed a right-hand drive version. If there's a definite demand for left-hand drive, we've got something on the drawing board to provide for left-hand drive. But most of the drivers are quite happy to drive right-hand drive. Mm-hmm.
It's paddle shift, of course, so you don't have to worry about which hand you're shifting with. As I look inside, and Brian carefully opens the hood.
The pedal shift has come out of the Mulsanne.
Really?
Yes.
And in fact, as he says that, I look in, and it is exactly the same paddles to come out of the Mulsanne road car. I recognise those because I've seen one. In fact, my fingers have touched them briefly. We can see there quite clearly, though, Brian, the interior of the car and the body in white, and white is your race colour as well, is absolutely as we would see it from a car on the line, not too far away from where we're standing now here at Crewe.
Yeah, that's all standard production road car shell, because a lot is spoken about the weight of the car, and when you take out the luxury items, you end up with a state-of-the-art steel monocoque, which is not heavier than much else. But and as you see... standard production door handle.
Yeah.
These are light components. They're not heavy components. So
don't reinvent the wheel if you don't have to.
Absolutely not. No.
Okay. Moving to the back of the car, and of course the big addition that we don't see on the street cars is the very big aerodynamic aerofoil on the back, with what now seems to be the de rigueur kind of swan neck over the top mountings. Yeah. A lot of debate about series that will allow the full FIA GT3 spec and series that won't. But presumably, this car has been designed to run with this wing, homologated with the FIA, like that, and that gives the full aerodynamic package.
Correct, yeah. And we balance it out with the splitter and diffuser in the front. And the wing works in conjunction with the diffuser in the rear. Mm. And we get a good aero balance out of that.
Clearly, when you bring a name like Bentley back into motor racing, it causes a stir. So how hard has your telephone been ringing with people saying, as soon as you've got one, I want to drive one. As soon as you've got them to sell to customers, I want to buy one.
We've had a lot of interest, but at Bentley, we don't divulge our customers.
No, neither would I ask you to.
So, yes, we've had healthy interest. We're more concerned about delivering cars where we can give them a Bentley level of service. So the customer experience must be in line with Bentley, whether you're on the racetrack, on the road. It's a Bentley level of service that we want to provide. So not too many cars that we can't give the backup that a Bentley deserves.
That's not easy, is it? Because you might have somebody who one weekend races in, let's say, the Spa 24 Hours, which is effectively the World Cup of GT3. Mm-hmm. Later on in the year, they might want to go out to Dubai and do the 24 there, or Bathurst in the 12 Hours. And, of course, the car can do all that because it's full FIA GT3 spec.
Certainly it is. It can go in many countries. I think the footprint of GT3 is probably second only to that of Formula 1.
Yep.
And in terms of countries that we go to.
Does that cause you a problem trying to support that, Brian?
Not really, and that's one of the reasons why we're with M Sport. M Sport's key performance criteria competitive advantage is that they know how to look after customers. They've got close to 900 rally cars out there in the world, and so at any given weekend there's a car competing, and in rally they tend to use up spares. And
you said that.
And M Sport keep their customers happy, and so that was a really important consideration in developing this car with M Sport. They know how to look after their customers in the way that we want our customers looked after. So we're confident that wherever the car races, we'll be able to back it up with spares and technical advice.
Now, we know about two cars in the Blancpain for 2014, run by M Sport, who are the team of choice of Bentley at the moment. We know about GT in the UK, the British GT, with the Applebee's having bought a car already, and good luck to them in that. Well done for getting that car to them. Do you expect to be adding new customers during this year, or will that now wait until 15? I don't need any names.
No, we will be adding new customers this year. We've got some interesting prospects and some teams very close to doing a deal. Yeah.
How close is what we're looking at now, the car that raced at Abu Dhabi, to that original concept? And because often that gets lost. Yeah. You've been involved in many of these. Yeah. It does get lost, doesn't it? But I get a sense that this one has stayed closer than most.
We stayed very close. And the advantage of that is getting the stylists involved up front. Mm. So we did a very intensive feasibility study up front, which also involved some CFD aero work. So we gave them a parameters within which to work. So because we gave them that freedom, there was not a lot of change along the way. So we've got the original concept car here, which you can have a look at. And there are very few details. It's there's a knacker duct on the rear fender, which disappeared because it was in a shadow, which was part of the CFD development. Wing supported more conventionally, but apart from that, the car is, if you park the two together, you have to look, really the wing tells you the difference between the two.
And the motive power unit is this V8, which I've driven in the Continental convertible, a 4-litre V8 unit, which is very clever in the road car, and shuts down cylinders imperceptibly. It is a road-bred engine that is being used at the very highest level in motor racing. How important was that V8?
Well, it was such a good base engine to work with that we virtually haven't modified anything in the engine, anything significant in the engine to get it to up to race specification. We're not shutting down the four cylinders.
No. Not even on the pit lane limiter.
The engine, we're really so far really pleased with it. We've used one engine through a lot of testing and plan to give the customer that sort of reliability of engine. We're pleased with it. It gives you good fuel consumption being a direct injection. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no complaints from the engine side. A really torquey, got Bentley characteristics.
Yes.
The drivers love it.
If we look slightly into the future and beyond even this season and next, we know that there's a big change coming in GT worldwide with the ACO's GT and GT Plus regulations, which are being talked about.
Yeah, we're staying very close to those talks and are hopeful that certainly we would be able to continue with this car or its successor in GT and the way it's going could be eligible for GT Plus. So that would be good.
Hi, I'm Guy Smith, Bentley Boy. It's no secret that Brian and the guys at Bentley have been looking for a way to get Bentley back to motorsport for a number of years now, and I remember Brian talking to me a couple of years ago with the idea of doing this project, and the fact that Brian sort of got it through the board and got the board to agree to it, and then obviously seeing the design and the build of the car, it's been fantastic, and it's been a real exciting journey from debuting the car at Goodwood Festival of Speed. Mm-hmm. It was a tremendous buzz, and I think it was great for people to see a Bentley race car back again, and then of course all the way through the testing development. It's always great when much like the Le Mans, the XP8, taking a car from its sort of infancy and developing it and it becoming a winner. We hope we can do the same with the GT3 car.
That took, in terms of racing, 3 years for the Speed 8s. Is there, in some ways, an imperative to win even more quickly with this project?
I think the nature of GT3 allows you to get to a high level quicker because the cars are more simple than a prototype car. So it gives you the...
Not that much. When I look at this one nowadays, this would have been a GT1 car not so very long ago, wouldn't it?
Well, that's right. I mean, obviously, it is a pretty sophisticated piece of kit, but even compared to an LMP1 car, we've been able to get to a high level quite quickly. Mm. Of course, we want to go out there and we want to win straight away. That's obviously our aim. But, we also don't underestimate the challenge. You've got all the manufacturers, Audi, Ferrari, Porsche, etc., that have been racing GT3 for years. So we are definitely coming from behind. But I think we're confident in the car that M Sport has designed and built. And it's really a case of being able to, just get our pit stops right, get our strategy right, and we are still learning. So I think we've got to manage expectations, but at the same time, we're all racers and we want to win. So if we can get, if we can get some podiums and possibly a win or two this year, that would be, I think, a fantastic achievement and would set us up nicely for next year and beyond.
You have the advantage of having been behind the wheel in a race situation of some of the competition. How do you think that the Bentley Continental GT3, as it stands right now, going into its first season, how do you think it stands up against some of those competition that you've driven in the past?
Well, I think it's going to be there or thereabouts. I think the nature of GT3 and the BOP means that all the cars are going to be very, very close. It's got presence, hasn't it? I mean, the one thing about this car, it's got presence and it's intimidating. And I think in the nature of the Blancpain series and GT racing, it's all about muscling your way around and intimidating. And I think that we've certainly got the tools to do that. The car is obviously going to be quick. But it's things like managing the tyres, managing the tyre pressures, the pit stops. They're the things that we're possibly a little bit behind on. But, we'll learn quickly and we'll, hopefully be able to have some good races this year.
Because this is GT3, there's two sides to the story. There's you and Stephen and Andy and your teammates racing the two Bentley cars. But ultimately, there will be customer cars out there. And some of the drivers who drive customer cars don't have your skill levels. Most people don't have your skill levels, if I'm honest. When you've been developing the car, have you had to take that, when you've been developing the car as a driver, have you had to take that into consideration in terms of the ergonomics as well as the way the car handles and drives at and sometimes over the limit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in some respects the brief has been, we want a fast car. Obviously it's important to be a fast car, but actually probably the most important thing is a customer-friendly car, and that means that somebody can jump in the car who maybe, hasn't got the ultimate speed or maybe not true professional, but they can jump in and they can feel comfortable in the car and they can reach the upper end of their ability level quite quickly. And I think that the feedback that we've had with the GT3 is that everybody that's driven the car has commented how easy and nice the car is to drive, and that's for me is a huge compliment that people are saying that. And then I think if people feel comfortable and confident in the car, they will get the best of their own ability, and that's so important in GT3 racing. And as I said, it's a customer series, and while the M Sport team Bentley wants to do well and win races, it's so important that the customers, whether it be in British GT or America or wherever they be racing, have success. And that's really how you benchmark a good car, is across the board how everybody does. And I think we feel confident that we've got a car that can do that.
essentially, are we talking there about mitigating some of the vices that race cars can often have?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's getting into something and you feel, do you know what, I can feel this, I can feel what the car's doing, I feel comfortable with it. I remember when we were driving the Le Mans car again back in 2003 when Tom Christensen came on board. He drove the 2001 2 car and it was a fast car, but it wasn't a Le Mans winning endurance car. And what we've got to do, you know, and what we've been conscious of is making this an endurance car, something that you can drive pretty much on the limit for hours on end. And that's really what we've tried to achieve, and hopefully we've done that.
That's Guy Smith rounding off our midweek motorsport special on the Continental GT3. I'm John Hangdorf, and my thanks on your behalf to everyone at Bentley Motors crew for making this programme possible.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.radiolemon.com. Radio Show Limited. We talk to the world.